All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. It's Monday, June 5th. It is 63 degrees in Wausau, 59 in Wisconsin Rapids, 50 in Waukesha, and 62 degrees here in Chippewa Falls. And what's on tap here in the Chippewa Valley? It appears we are. We are now on a station called The Tap. It's 93.5 FM and 105.7 FM HD2 as the Civic Media family begins operation on several new stations around Wisconsin in the Chippewa Valley, in La Crosse, in the Racine-Kenosha area, and more. So throughout the day, those stations will be coming online. New talk shows will be coming online starting at 8 o'clock this morning as the lineup gets a little reshuffled. So we'll be telling you all about that over the next couple of hours here together. So Austin Powers notwithstanding, allow myself to introduce myself. My name is Pat Kreitlow, and broadcasting from here in Chippewa Falls, where I have lived for these past 28 years, give or take, with some time away. And we're now on stations in Hayward and La Crosse, and see Green Bay, Oshkosh. They have new morning shows that are coming on board. So much to share with you this morning. Also, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, get our usual Monday morning visit from her, talk about health items in the news. Sherita Booker will review some of the most read, most watched, most clicked on stories on Up North News, our various social media sites. Then in our 7 o'clock hour, Parenting with Pride, as part of Pride Month, our weekly Motherhood Monday segment will center around the intersection of parenting and the LGBTQ plus community. That includes same-sex parents, LGBTQ youth, and how allies can show their support. So much to cover today. And along the way, if you want to comment at all on what you're hearing on the radio, any questions, comments, things worthy of some statewide attention, give us a call at 844-967-2789. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Aaron Zommers is down in our station in Madison, where he kind of pulls all the switches and mans all the bells and whistles to get us out and about. Aaron, did you make it back up to Manitowoc for the weekend?
I did. I got to go visit my family for a little while and see my...
Your niece was having a dance recital, right?
Exactly, yeah. She did great. She had two songs from The Little Mermaid, part of that
nice.
World and Under the Sea.
So is this, how would you describe this, like interpretive dance? Like is it all like an individual dance, or is it part of a group?
It was a group, so a bunch of other students around her age, and it went about as well as you can expect 4 and 5 year olds to dance, which is to say it was cute and most of them remember their moves.
It's cute, and in some ways, it's like opening a bag of squirrels onto the stage and letting them run around. Yeah, exactly. It's like watching my grandson when he was playing Little League. That's exactly it. Well, good. I'm glad it was a good time. We are both inside where it is air conditioned and really need that, because there is another day where Canada is trying to burn itself down, and we are getting all the smoky remnants from it. I'm not going to say I can barely see across Lake Wissota right now, but it is extremely hazy. And so if you're a person who is susceptible to respiratory issues and you're already indoors, you can already tell looking outside the window, might be a good idea to stay inside for a chunk of the day. We will get a full forecast from the meteorologists over at Weatherology just over an hour from now. It was an amazingly fun and busy weekend here on the lake, and that included an entire day on the lake. Usually I'm the pontoon captain. I am the captain now of my pontoon. And it typically goes from the house upriver to a resort called the Mallard and then back down again. And we love to putt-putt up the river and back down the river. Very rarely when I come off my dock, instead of turning left, do I turn right and actually go out onto the big lake. onto Lake Wissota. But this time around, my wife Sherry and I rode around as passengers with some friends who just did a slow lap around the lake. You know, we hit Moon Bay, we stopped at the View, we stopped at the Wissota Lodge, got out for a while and just cooled off in the water. It was just a classic lake day. And then yesterday was just an amazing road trip to drop the top on the vehicle, head up to Hayward, where my sister-in-law has opened up a new bait shop just east of Hayward called Can of Worms. We then stopped in Exlin. Some friends own the Buckhorn Bar and restaurant up there and had a fabulous meal. And it was just great to, you know, drive up 178 along the Chippewa River, you know, up past Jim Falls and up into Cornell. And then you take either 27 or 40 north from there. And just, you know, perfect weather for all of that. And we still managed to get some work done as well, thanks to my neighbor Art, who brought over a pickaxe. You have heard me for months talk about the buckthorn and how mature and out of hand it's gotten, and that we were finally able to chop it all down, but the stumps were still there, and that's not something that's, you know, easily rectified unless you've got a neighbor with a chain, and then you hitch the other end of that chain to the back of my Jeep, which I'm sure got some puzzled looks from people sitting in my front yard. But we were able finally to take care of all that without the need to get goats. I've been saying forever, maybe we needed goats to get rid of the buckthorn problem. But we were able to do it with a Jeep instead of goats this time around. And so we'll keep goats where they belong, as stew, if you're of that mind. We'll take a break. Hey, we got Brewers tickets we're giving away later this hour as well to Wednesday's game. So we'll have that coming up at 6:50, and some headlines and more coming up during this 6 a.m. hour, the first hour of a new chapter for Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back in just a bit.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound.
We do most of our music news and a little history lesson at 6:50, and sometimes a little something spills over, like right here where Elvis is performing Hound Dog, performed on the Milton Berle Show this day in 1956, causing a national scandal with his gyrating hips. Of course, I'm talking about Elvis Presley, not Milton Berle. The Up North News newsletter comes out every morning around 5 a.m. on weekdays, and among the stories that Christina Lurie puts in there, tonight is a big night for some chefs in Wisconsin. The state will be well represented at the annual James Beard Awards. That's basically the Oscars of the restaurant industry, recognizing exceptional talent in culinary and food media industries and more. And there are four Wisconsin chefs who are finalists for that and waiting to hear more tonight. And she lists those in the newsletter as well. Quick note, if you're new to the show and can't always listen live on your near media radio station, you can always head to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and you will see everything listed there, including Up North News Radio, where you can listen back to past shows either on the website or subscribe to the show as a podcast. You can do that through the Civic Media website or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, Apple, Spotify, what have you. And then you can take us along and listen on demand whenever it suits you. Time for sports now. Just about 6:17, Adrian Hauser pitched 7 innings, something that hasn't been done very often by the Brewers' starting rotation this year. Andrew Monasterio hit his first career home run, and the Brewers beat the Cincinnati Reds on Sunday 5-1. Victor Caratini also went deep, and it was for the Brewers, their fourth win in the last 5 games. They are still atop the National League Central Division, and the win on Sunday meant they clinched their first road series since a 3-game sweep of Seattle back on April 17th, 18th, 19th. Adrian Hauser allowed 6 hits, 2 strikeouts, no walks, and they're still in Cincinnati for one more game tonight. Then they hurry home to start a series tomorrow with the Baltimore Orioles. And as I mentioned before, we will have tickets for Wednesday night's game coming up later this hour. And a quick reminder that the Milwaukee Brewers play on a couple of stations across the Civic Media Radio Network in the Richland Center area. You can catch them at News from the Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM.
My Up North News colleague, Sherita Booker, joins us now, and we take a little time each week to have her tell us about some of the stories that you'll find on Up North News online, either through our website or through all of our social media feeds, and look at the stories that are getting read the most, videos that are getting viewed the most, what's getting clicked on, everything like that. She works on social media while Christina Lurie works on the newsletter, and I work on, you know, yodeling here on the radio. Sherita, how are you?
Good. How are you, Pat?
I'm great. Thank you. Now, we should note that we're going to talk about little Aiden, who's in the Wisconsin, representing Wisconsin in the National Spelling Bee. And we're not really going to get into the results of the competition. It's just that the point being that Aiden is he's a seventh grader who is inspiring a lot of people with his ability just to even get to this point of being in the National Spelling Bee to get as far as he did.
Yeah, and he's only in the seventh grade, so he's better than me at that time in my life as a seventh grader. I was not that great of a speller. But that story got about 800 likes so far on our Instagram account.
And there's a few different things that you list to know about Aiden in here. For example, this isn't even the first time that he's been in the national competition.
Yeah, not even the first time. In 2019, he tied for 51st place. So that's amazing.
He was in third grade.
Yeah.
He was in third grade 4 years ago, and he tied for 51st in the nation. Now he's the... he's the first resident from Middleton to win the Wisconsin Badger State Spelling Bee. I am sure he does all kinds of preparation to get ready for this, Sherita.
Yeah, definitely. And not only does he is he a spelling bee champion, he also does piano, or he plays the piano. He plays tennis. He does taekwondo, and he's in Boy Scouts.
And so on top of just amazing, and spending at least an hour every day studying the dictionary and time on the weekends. It's just so cool to see. Now, the stories that are getting clicked and read and viewed, they're not always the uplifting things that we like to bring to you. Sometimes they are the serious stories that don't always have a happy ending. And that takes us to Master Lock, which has had a very long presence in Milwaukee. But that presence is about to be curtailed very sharply. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Master Lock is closing its Milwaukee-based facility in March of next year, but it's going to start outsourcing jobs this fall, leaving a lot of Wisconsinites without jobs. So that's really sad to hear, and it's had a long history in Milwaukee, so it's just sad to see it go.
So you can, again, many comments on our Instagram version of the story and in other places as well. So now we'll end on another well-read story, but one that is definitely in the good news category. And you're going to keep hearing about the bipartisan infrastructure law for many years to come because of the investments it's making, because of the jobs it's creating. And so among those, people clearly were interested in knowing about a major bridge replacement on the interstate, basically between Madison and Wisconsin Dells. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin River Bridge is going to be replaced using funding from Biden's infrastructure law. And that has been going through many repairs over the years. So people are happy that it's actually going to be completely replaced. And it'll implement two-way traffic too, which will make things better.
Sherita Booker takes care of our social media and tells us what folks are reading and clicking and watching on all of our social media channels. Sherita, thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
And again, for Sherita, she puts together our social media for us. Christina Lurie will join us tomorrow with the uplift, some of the stories that she works on for the newsletter. And we should also note, again, our congratulations to Aiden Wijayakasuria, who competed in the National Spelling Bee. And I don't have here how he eventually wound up in terms of place-wise, but again, just a tremendous showing to even get there is just worthy of recognition, because spelling is, I don't know what we would do in this day and age without the spell check that we have. Looking at other things that people were doing over the weekend, Aaron, I knew a few people that were heading to American Family Field over the weekend, not for a Brewers game, but for a concert. They were there to see George Strait and Chris Stapleton and Little Big Town. They were so excited to go down to the concert. Did you know anybody who was heading over to that this weekend?
I did not. That sounds pretty big, though.
Here's how big it was. Paul McCartney had the previous record for a concert at what was then Miller Park, but the concert over the weekend set a new record. 46,641 fans were there to see the country music legend, George Strait, who is now 71 years old and has 61 top 10 hits. Needless to say, he probably didn't get to all of them, but sounds like everybody had a great time. Like the show went off without a hitch.
Even with three bands, outdoing Paul McCartney is nothing to scoff at.
No, not at all. Especially for, you know, a stadium that's been putting on shows for, 22 years now. So it just looks like it was a great time for everybody. And again, the weather really cooperated and you couldn't really ask for more of that. So we're glad that folks had fun doing that. A couple of notes from news headlines. We should note that late last week in the legislature, Wisconsin Republicans, who control the Joint Finance Committee, voted to eliminate Governor Tony Evers' proposed investment in further expanding high-speed internet across Wisconsin. That $750 million that Evers wanted to put in to further the work that he's already done during his first term in office, legislators said they would wait and see how much more came in as part of President Biden's infrastructure bill, which I found rather interesting. Rather than having some control over the investment and the expansion of broadband in Wisconsin, they would choose instead to wait on President Biden, somebody they're not exactly a fan of. The federal government is set to spend $700 million to $1.1 billion on broadband expansion in the state. The Public Service Commission has estimated the total cost of expanding broadband statewide at about $1.8 billion. So the $750 million that Governor Evers was proposing would have come in handy regardless. But as Democratic State Assembly Rep Tip McGuire of Kenosha said over the weekend, so Joe Biden did his job, and now he sees that Republicans are proposing $0 to supplement that. And he said, rightly so, that that's just embarrassing for Wisconsin Republicans in the legislature. On the national networks, Chuck Todd said on Sunday he'll be leaving NBC's Meet the Press after what you could call a tumultuous near decade of running the Sunday morning show. He will be replaced by reporter and anchor Kristen Welker. Chuck Todd said that he had watched, quote, too many friends and family let work consume them before it was too late, and that he'd promised his family he wouldn't do that. Todd took over a program that had been previously anchored by David Gregory, and before that, the legendary Tim Russert from 1991 until his untimely death in 2008. Tim Russert still the gold standard for hosts, and we really could use more Tim Russerts out there. Contrast that to what happened over the weekend on CNN when their quest to embrace both sidesism was on display again as the network gave a platform to Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley, allowing her to spew some ugly points unchallenged. She tried, for example, to draw a connection between transgender youth issues and the mental health crisis facing teen and adolescent girls. She managed not only to be homophobic and scapegoating and clueless on the actual evidence, she basically showed she doesn't give a damn about either group. And it's probably a great applause line at right-wing gatherings to make a comment about somebody changing in a locker room, but mainstream America is going to see somebody who is just another homophobe willing to say whatever it takes to win a primary and then watch her try to tack back toward the center in a general election. She had the audacity to blame everything, for example, except guns, for the epidemic of gun violence seen in no other country in the world. Her response to a question about red flag laws was downright insulting. She said something like, "I don't trust the government when it comes to guns." Really? Does she know what red flag laws are, that you bring evidence to a judge to determine if somebody presents a health to themselves or to you and me? She's saying she doesn't trust judges who hear evidence and make determination. Is she saying we should get rid of all mental commitment proceedings, maybe eliminate courts altogether? It's just another case of classic doublespeak from a former elected official who's happy to be part of the government when she can be in power, and then gins up the anti-government rhetoric when she's back on the outside trying to get in. And CNN did fact check her after the fact, but that reaches only a sliver of the people who actually watched and maybe took her at her word on some of the things that she said. Well, more headlines throughout the morning here. Kristen Lyerly joins us next. And again, you can find the work that we're doing every day over at upnorthnewswi.com or look for Up North News WI on social media. Back to you.
Peace up, A-Town Dad.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
It's time for the Monday morning dance party here on Up North News Radio. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now, too. We thought a little Usher might work for you, starting the morning off over there.
Yes, good morning. It's Monday. Cheers to you with your coffee.
Oh, here that's right. First appearance of the Up North News coffee mug for the week here. You know, we're finally testing out some new designs for new Up North News merchandise. So you, too, can finally have an Up North News coffee mug.
I could maybe have a hat so that I don't have to, you know, do my hair in the morning, and I could just throw on a baseball hat like today.
Like today, where we see Bucky Badger is on there as well. But, I mean, you're still recovering. You said you had a near-death experience over the weekend and really confused me and Aaron when you said you almost died on a Peloton, which I thought only happened in the Allstate commercial with that one guy. But you're saying it didn't quite happen that way.
Not quite. We were riding the Bayshore to Lakeshore Century Ride. They have a bunch of different mileage offerings, but we rode the 100 miler, and this group of guys from Sheboygan came up next to us and invited us to jump on the back of their Peloton, which is a group of cyclists that ride together. And there's a big advantage when you ride in that. If you ever watch the Tour de France, mm-hmm. you see them riding in big clusters, and the people at the front aren't the people who are sprinting at the end. They're the people who are like the workhorses. They're putting in all the effort. The people at the back or the people in the middle are drifting a lot. It makes it a lot easier and makes you a lot faster. So we were riding in a Peloton.
I don't know. When you mentioned that, though, and what I see from the Tour de France usually is people riding in a group. And Aaron, what do we typically see in the Tour de France when people are riding in a group?
I don't know, because I've never watched it.
Big crashes. We see big crashes. That somebody in the front, you know, gets out of line, and then damage ensues, chaos. Mm-hmm. And are you saying that's what happened to you?
Yeah, the guy right in front of me crashed, and I missed him by about an inch. And he broke his elbow. We got to stay and offer aid. Ooh. Me and my first responder partner got to stay and just make sure he was okay. He's okay. We rode with the rest of his buddies afterwards. So it was fun.
So you're a physician, but, you know, an OBGYN, and your partner's a first responder.
But an OBGYN.
You know where I'm going here. What could you do for this guy's elbow? Were you looking, you know, at your partner going, "Hey, this is you, buddy. You're the first responder. If he's got problems below the hips, I'm okay. But, you know, an elbow..." Or were you able to offer some assistance here?
If it had been a woman, I would have done a pelvic exam on the spot.
No, I would hope not.
No, I mean, he fell on his arm. So, you know, I just evaluated, and he didn't break his collarbone. I palpated his shoulder. That felt fine. He had a sleeve on, so we left the sleeve on because that was keeping the bleeding at bay. I checked his head, made sure that he didn't have a neck injury. Mm-hmm. You know, just those basic things until real medical assistance could come.
You know, you try to see if he's still with it, and you didn't have smelling salts. And so instead you said something like, "I'm going to check your cervix." And if he freaked out, you know that he's fine. You know,
his buddies all really appreciated the fact that I was a gynecologist. I think that's probably going to live in their mythology for a long time.
Look, again, being married to one of them, there comes the occasional time where you show up at the pharmacist and, you know, it's something easy peasy, like, I don't know, not Claritin or something like that. They look and go, really, this is your doctor? I'm like, yeah, it's my wife's friend. She's a gynecologist. You know, they can prescribe, you know, simple things like that. What's your thing that you don't, that you get all squeamish about? You know, my wife can do, you know, all kinds of things, but her thing that she would say is eyes. She just does not, eye stuff makes her squeamish. What about you? Is there something that you would just as soon not be a part of if there was a medical issue?
I don't really get squeamish. The one thing that bothered me in medical school was doing surgery on somebody's face, like actual surgery. But like, you know, if somebody has a cut or is bleeding or something like that, that doesn't bother me. But it's the actual...
Well, plus I'd be thinking nonstop about, you know, hitting a nerve and, you know, then pretty soon their eye is droopy or what have you. Yeah, I could totally see that. But you're also in that profession where when your patients are up to something, no other doctor wants to touch them. How many times have you been called to the ER and it turns out they had like a cut on their finger, but they were pregnant. And so they ring you up right away and say, Dr. Lyerly, get over here.
Yeah. Pregnant women make people very nervous, mm-hmm. but you know, that's okay. Because if that's something that like emergency medicine docs are not comfortable with, mm-hmm. then they should hand that off so that people get the best care.
Dr. Lyerly and I were discussing during the break that there hasn't been a lot for news lately for us to discuss that relates to women's health care. And on the one hand, while that's kind of a good thing, it just feels like it's been like a hurricane mm-hmm. of news all the time with attacks on women's health care rights and everything. But a lot of legislatures are either out of session now or like the Wisconsin one is busy with the budget. And so it gives us time to look back. And for folks who are new to the show and don't know that Dr. Lyerly has been doing a lot of practicing over in Minnesota since Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban came into play and treated women and their physicians like second-class citizens. And the Washington Post put up an article yesterday, their Sunday edition, saying, quote, "The Minnesota miracle should serve as a model for Democrats," and talks all about how you've seen Congress have a Democratic majority, both small and large, and still not be able to get very much done in terms of a progressive agenda. But you had a front row seat through the people that you got to meet in Minnesota, how with a one vote advantage in the state Senate and a two vote margin in the state House of Representatives, they were still enabled to act a very comprehensive progressive agenda, starting with codifying abortion rights for women.
There were so many things that they've wanted to do for a very long time. And I have to say, this is not something that just came out of the blue. Senator Kelly Morrison is an OBGYN. She's a physician and a friend of mine. And she decided to run for the state house in Minnesota after Trump was elected. That was something that she just felt like things are headed in the wrong direction and I need to step up and do something different. And she spent a year or 2 years a term in the House and then ran for Senate. And she has been a total game changer, not just her, but her and the other people who have similar stories, people who recognized that they needed something different, that the people of Minnesota needed something different. So to me, I look at all of these things that have happened for so many people, young and old, men, women. I mean, you name it. Minnesota is going to be such an incredibly different place because people recognized that it was their time to step up and they could make a difference.
So again, from both the Washington Post and the MinPost website, here's the list. This is what got done in the Minnesota legislature this session. Codified abortion rights, paid family and medical leave, sick leave, transgender rights protections, driver's licenses for undocumented residents, restoration of voting rights for people when they are released from prison, wider voting access, one-time tax rebates, including one aimed at low-income parents with kids, a $1 billion investment in affordable housing, including rental assistance, background checks for private gun transfers, a red flag warning system to take guns away from people deemed by a judge to be a threat to themselves or others. They banned conversion therapy for LGBTQ people, legalized recreational marijuana, expanded education funding, required a carbon-free electric grid by 2040, and passed a massive $2.5 billion capital construction package. And meanwhile, oh, by the way, free breakfast and lunch at all Minnesota K-12 schools, strengthening workers' rights, unemployment insurance, a refundable child credit for lower-income Minnesotans. Meanwhile, we're stuck with Robin Voss trying to decide if the 1849 abortion ban stays in place with its archaic language or if they pretend to moderate it somewhat. And pretty much everything else that I've said right there has been proposed in one form or another by Governor Tony Evers. And yet a Republican-led legislature that does not have majority support in Wisconsin, they're only in the majority because of rigged gerrymandered maps, is saying, nah. And it just allows for such comparisons that Wisconsin is already at the short end of when it comes to almost any economic measure. And it's just a damn shame.
It's a shame. And I look at what's happening with our communities and our young people and how they see a very bright future in places like Minnesota. I mean, paid child and family leave and, you know, opportunities to explore their reproductive options if they choose to have a family. They feel safe and they feel supported. And that's just not happening here. We can't even extend Medicaid in the postpartum period. We've got so much data that shows that more women die after they deliver their babies than during pregnancy or the actual birth. Yet our government can't come together and offer these women health care that would save their lives, that would save their families. I mean, when a family loses a mother, that's devastating. So just the fact that exactly what you said, Pat, our legislators clearly are not here serving the people of Wisconsin. They're serving themselves.
Well, and they're certainly not even agreeing with each other. It turns out that Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, and Devin Lemahieu, the Senate Republican leader, can't agree on a revenue sharing package to get more state tax dollars to local units of government. They're disagreeing over whether there should have to be a referendum for the city of Milwaukee to, you know, raise its own taxes rather than trust the elected officials already elected by the people there. Meanwhile, on the Minnesota side, when you wonder what did they do different that Congress is held hostage by, you know, the Joe Manchins and the Kristen Sinemas out there. And what they did in Minnesota was they took one of the most progressive members from the Twin Cities, and she chaired one of the tax committees. And then they picked a moderate from the very conservative Iron Range up north to chair the other tax committee. And that way they worked together. And if it couldn't pass them both, it wouldn't go into the final package. And so you had, crazy as it sounds, communication within your own party, which is something Democrats can't do in Washington and Republicans can't do in Madison.
And compromise. I think that we have completely forgotten that the whole idea of politics is about compromise. We've taken our ball and we've gone home so many times over the past couple of decades that we've failed to be able to work together for that common good. You don't get everything. You just don't. But you get many of the things that you want, and you get most of the things that are important for the majority of the people when you compromise.
And that's really what they're saying in this article here as well, is that it was, you know, their rural members and their urban members got together. You had people who very much wanted to focus on social issues, those who really wanted to focus on economic issues. It really sounds like the kind of thing we're trying to do here day in and day out, both on civic media radio stations and at Up North News, is to get these conversations going. Now, there are right ways to do that and wrong ways to do that. And I'll close the segment by talking briefly about something I know you haven't read, but it just dovetails in so nicely, is Chris Licht is the head of CNN. He has had a very rough year, and deservedly so, based on all the choices that he's made, including that disastrous Trump town hall debacle. And he was so confident that he was going to reinvent CNN that he let Tim Alberta, a reporter from Atlantic Monthly, gave him inside access for the past year. I mean, met with him at the gym, met with him over dinners, let him sit in on meetings. But of course, it didn't work out that way. And the result, the 15,000 word article that came out over the weekend, I mean, I think is going to kill his career. It just points out everything that went wrong leading up to the Trump debacle. But the thing is, he was saying the right thing. He was saying, look, we need to get people talking to one another. But he was trying to do that not with, say, moderate Republicans who still respect, you know, the truth and civics and norms, but with MAGA Republicans who are perfectly willing to vote to overturn election results. And the point of the article being, we need to talk to each other, but we have to agree on a set of facts. And if you can't agree on things that are factual, you can't be part of the conversation.
I'm getting a very Ted Lasso, Trent Crim gone wrong here. Is that what you're feeling?
Yeah, there you go. You're never going to go wrong with a Ted Lasso reference after we watched the finale last week. That was fun. Mm. Hey, we're going to give away Brewer tickets coming up next, along with our history lesson and music break. So stick around for all that. Have our phone number ready, 844-967-2789. More after this. You're Up North. Carly Simon. Oh yeah, it's, you see the ketchup. It might make it to the French fry eventually. Here it comes. Which is
but
so
it's a great song.
It's so gotten away from the original meaning of the song, which we learned about this day in 1971, when Carly Simon opened for Cat Stevens at Carnegie Hall in New York City. And she debuted the song Anticipation, which I did not know until last night. The song she'd written just a few days earlier while anticipating Cat Stevens to come over for a date. Did not know she and Cat Stevens were a thing before the whole James Taylor soap opera, as it were. So there you go. No more thinking of ketchup and French fries. It's Cat Stevens coming over. All right. This next one, let's see. Nico McBrain is 71 years old today, drummer for Iron Maiden. And Aaron, what did you learn about Nico McBrain?
So Nico McBrain is one of those names that you hear and you're like, that's not real. And if it is, their parents are need to be reprimanded or something.
Right.
But yep. Turns out Nico is an adopted name. He was born Michael, but his last name really is McBrain. It's not McBrian, McBrain.
Not made up, actual last name.
That makes for a tough grade school experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, how else does that lead you to become the drummer for Iron Maiden? let's see. On this day, a sad anniversary. This is the 55th anniversary of the assassination of Senator and presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy. Now, we have birthdays. We've got Mark Wahlberg is 52, and then we've got Kenny G is 67. How do we know he was born in Seattle this day in 1956? Listen to the kind of music he puts together. Does that just say Seattle rainy day right there? I mean, I want to close the curtains now and go back to bed, don't you?
Yes. But it is Monday, so yeah.
Yeah. Pete Wentz is 44, bassist, lyricist for Fall Out Boy. Here's another special from Aaron. First, Aaron was our Iron Maiden correspondent for Nico McBrain, and now Metallica. They released their eighth album, Saint Anger, on this date of 2003 to critical acclaim, but not exactly. Why is that, Aaron?
Well, it would help if they had recorded the drums with something other than a toilet. It's their eighth album. It's known as one of the worst albums ever released by a normally good band. All the way from songwriting to production. Some people did like it because it is a different style. But it doesn't have any guitar solos on it in a Metallica album.
Really?
And all the songs are basically unlistenable because the drums sound like paint cans and trash can lids. And the volumes are wildly inconsistent. Like, you'll have someone singing a verse here, and then the chorus will just be way louder, and then it'll also be mixed differently. It's just, it's a mess.
So, no quality control on that.
No.
All right, release this date 20 years. It's the 20th anniversary. Maybe they put out a 20th anniversary edition of it that they actually, you know, took the time to mix.
Maybe.
Remastered.
Yes, remastered. Or mastered for the first time, finally. And on this day in 2004, we played Usher earlier because on this day in 2004, he became the first artist to place three songs in the top 10 since the Bee Gees back in 1978. You heard Yeah there. It was the number 4 song. Confessions Part 2 was at number 9. And Burn was the number 1 song this day in 2004. Didn't realize there'd been such a gap between the Bee Gees and Usher. All right, let's give away some Brewers tickets. If you're new to the show, you've got to understand that we've got these great seats, club-level seats at American Family Field, and so we don't want to make them too hard, but we also don't want to make them too easy. So it's first person through with the correct answer to a pretty easy Wisconsin trivia question, and in honor of us debuting in the Chippewa Valley, we're asking, what is the team nickname for UW-Eau Claire Sports? 844-967-2789. First person through with the correct answer who can go to the game. These are great tickets, and we're going to email them to you. So you have to have them emailed. You have to be able to go to the game, and you cannot have won anything from us in the past 30 days. So if you meet all of those qualifications and you know the team name for UW-Eau Claire Sports, and you want to go to Wednesday night's Brewers game against Baltimore, first person in with the correct answer at 844-967-2789. We'll get that. Aaron will be picking up the phone for you to do that. So,
and
yes,
a little extra love if you can give us a cheer. That would be cheered at one of the UW-Eau Claire sporting events.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Well,
we could all use a little cheer on a Monday morning.
Spoken like a true former mascot that you are.
And a pom-pom girl. Come on. I mean, there's a little of that in all of us, right?
There's a little pom-pom girl in all of us? I don't know about that. I tip my hat that you served as a mascot for all those years, serving as Goldie Gopher and all the dancing and the extrovertedness. I'm actually kind of surprised. You'd think that after years of doing that, you'd kind of want to just be a hermit when that's all said and done. Like, nope, you got all the spirit out of you. I am done dancing for crowds. I'm just going to sit here and read my book. Not you. You're still out there in the public eye. Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't just sit and read a book. It's really hard. I'm a goer.
Are the boys all done? You've got 4 sons. Is the school year over for the younger ones?
I'm so glad you asked, Pat, because LPK, Little Pat Kreitlow, graduates from 8th grade today.
Aw.
Yeah. And it's my 3rd son, Lindsay's birthday. We've got this running joke that everybody graduates on Lindsay's birthday because it's true. Everybody, all of his older brothers have graduated on his birthday. And the real irony is that he graduates next year and they moved graduation a week earlier, so he won't graduate on his birthday.
And again, for folks who are new from all the new stations, he's not actually a little Pat Kreitlow, but
but he could be.
Holy cow, when I met him that one time. In Hallie, of all places, you were passing through, and we met at the Lake Hallie Culver's, which we joked was Hallie's been this line of demarcation for the Chippewa Valley, because there are folks from Chippewa Falls who almost never go into Eau Claire. That's the big city, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't want to get down there. Meanwhile, there are people in Eau Claire who never get out of Eau Claire. They find everything that they need. And you mention a place in Chippewa, and they're like, well, wait, I've never been there. What's that? And you know that's the case everywhere around the state, where there's people who never make it to Green Bay because that's the big city. Can't get in there. And I'm sure there's folks listening on our Waukesha station that haven't crossed the county boundary in some time, except for a sports event, and that doesn't count. All right, we're still waiting on somebody that would like Brewers tickets. Name the UW-Eau Claire sports team at 844-967-2789, and you will get tickets to Wednesday night's Brewers game. And then our Motherhood for Good segment comes up at 7:30, where we will talk about LGBTQ issues in parenting. That and so much more coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio. Find our work at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be back. You're Up North.
someone else, but you know that.